Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Craig Harris. He has a long history of directing brand and marketing. He's super experienced in the multifaceted world of digital storytelling. Today, he is founder and CEO of Look At Media. We'll be learning all about that. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas.
And thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. So let's start off by talking about the problem that you guys are solving. Let's steep ourselves in appreciating what people are going through and the struggle before we get to the solution.
Public relations is where we focus our attention primarily. And public relations is one of those things you either need or you want. So, for example, you want public relations because it's one of the most cost-effective and powerful ways of getting your messaging out through verified voices. So you're tapping into their existing audiences and using their reach and their credibility to tell your stories for you. You may need public relations because of a false narrative that's actually in the media landscape already, or it's something, it could be a crisis or something like that. So you need to be able to push back and tell your story and defend your position or your organization's position. Now, public relations is getting more and more difficult to be effective because we now have a ratio of something like 6 PR people to every journalist. So it means that there's a huge amount of competition. So it's becoming more elusive even for the PR professionals. So what our technology does, it does something that's never been done before, which makes public relations accessible to everyone. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter the size of your organization. It doesn't matter if you've had any experience in public relations. We can actually give you the ability to access PR from those sources.
So, you know, taking a step back to really appreciate that problem, companies existing across different industries, being out in Houston, Texas, where I am, for instance, there's a lot of oil companies, and pretty much everyone out here has worked for an oil company at some point in time. And there's sometimes PR disasters like a spill or some other environmental situation. And it's always this big deal managing that. And different industries have different kinds of situations that come up. Could you give us like a sort of landscape of the types of things that pop up?
Oh, so for example, that's a really good example of what you go into a crisis management process. You have to respond really, really fast. So the question is, how do you actually do that? How do you bring together a team? And that team, if you're talking about an oil spill or something like that, there'll be a group of legal people involved. There'll be PR people, and you'll bring in other experts. So experts in the sector, people who have a reputation for dealing with oil spills, people you want to get in front of a camera and say, look, yes, this has happened. This is how we're responding to it. So there's many facets to that. So managing that, you can do all of that instantaneously with our technology. You're going to identify the journalists who are most likely to write about this in a positive way. You can create press conference scripts. You can put articles out with illustrated content. So all of a sudden, the media can just grab this information. They can get the stories out there rather than a day or two delay. It can happen in a few minutes. And also you can push it out to social media. Now, that's one thing with crisis management, but most of what you want to do with PR is on the more positive side of things. So if we look at the current media environment, there's three or four big voices in the US media space that dominate everything. It seems impossible to hear about anything apart from one or two voices, and a lot of them, the big tech companies, there's some political figures and so on. But there's tens of thousands of organizations who need to get their story out there. You might be a small environmental concern. You might be a health organization. You could be a pharmaceutical company pushing back on vaccines, and you've got this great vaccine that is going to cure something that has been around for a long time. But you need to get people to listen to what you're saying and to take the message on board. That's where PR comes into play. So in that case, you want to be able to go to the right journalists who have trusted audiences and talk to them about what this vaccine can actually do. Now, on a smaller scale, again, we're working with one organization that is trying to come up with ways of dealing with all of the nuclear waste that's not properly stored in America. So they're trying to start conversations in the media and in the political arena to figure out a way of how they can take, I think it's something like 90,000 pounds of very dangerous waste material and where we can put it safely so it's not impacting on communities. So you've got this whole range of organizations, big and small, who need to be able to get media coverage. And when we talk about media, we're talking old media and new media. And the way to do it is through PR. And the most cost-effective and the fastest way to do it is through our technology.
And not every company has PR. So I want to fully appreciate the difference versus overlap of marketing and PR. And it seems like marketing, I guess, is sort of on your own terms, the face that you build for yourself for the world. And then PR is the stuff that happens in media primarily, and you don't necessarily have direct control over.
The reason people spend money on marketing, because I also have a marketing background, is that you do it because you want to have control over the narrative. You want to be able to say, I have an ad here, I've got a certain amount of clicks. It's a very, very expensive and not very efficient way of actually working. And it's getting progressively worse. There's less and less sources where you can actually get your ads out. And what happens is if you've got a PR campaign and you're running a marketing campaign, it gives credibility to that marketing campaign because people trust the voices, whether they're influencers, podcasters like yourself. People lean into those sources and need that information. So if you really want to get your message out, PR is the way to start. Now, if you're talking about access to PR, you have to have, in America, it's probably $500 million plus in revenue to be effective in PR, which is insane, which means that worldwide there's 15 million companies who are priced out of PR. Our technology takes care of that. All of a sudden, they can actually find a technology that does the job of a PR person. They don't have to have any background whatsoever, and we can help them. We use AI to actually create the content and then to identify the right journalists and push it out through social media. So they become experts in 20 minutes.
Wow. And that touches on a question that I had coming up, which is this a technology that's, or type of service slash technology that has already existed for the big players that you're democratizing? Or is it just kind of net new?
Brand new. Now, what's happened is the existing PR solutions out there focus on the size of the database and media monitoring. And media monitoring is like getting your press releases out there and then going, what happened? It doesn't tell you why it happened. It just tells you what happens, and usually too late for you to do anything. Our technology flips that paradigm around. So we actually can identify what is happening in the media landscape, how you should respond to it. And then we've got a media model that we've built, which is called a vertical AI model, which is specifically for the purpose of generating this content. That means that we can write the press releases for you and also generate all the other content. And all you need to do is check it and make sure you're happy with it. And everything goes out professionally and it goes to the journalists, the influencers, podcasters, and bloggers in a format that they can instantly use. But we go one step further. So for about 5 or 6 years, one of the biggest complaints from journalists is they're so busy, they need personalized content. So what's happened with the other products is they've said personalized content means my name in the subject line. It's not that at all. It's not even a case of understanding what the beat is. It's about understanding who their target audience is and what they're interested in. So we know what a journalist is writing about now. So we have over 1 million journalists. And if you want to pick a subject, say, in nuclear waste, we can identify which journalists are writing about that in a positive way and then target them directly, but rewrite a core press release in their own language model. So when they get the press release, they read it and they go, did I write this? Plus, we give them the visual narrative to back it up. Now, that means that the time it takes to get something into the media can drop from anywhere up to 6 weeks down to a day or two. And the chance of your press release getting picked up increases by 200 to 500%. That's just the press release. Then you've got the social media and so on. So it's revolutionary. And I mean that in the truest sense of the word. We've shown it to the most cynical PR people at the highest levels, and we had one organization where the person just pushed his chair back from the table and gasped, which just blew our mind. But to give an idea, we're using our technology in Australia, and there's one festival who uses our technology. They get 3.2 million people a year to this festival, and it's driven through our tech. That is the equivalent of about 10% of the Australian population to one festival. And to give you an idea how big that is, that's more than 10 times the size of Coachella, and it's bigger than any festival in the US. Full stop.
Wow.
So that's using our technology. So that's the power of what you can actually achieve.
So, to make sure I understand the market dynamics that really caused this thing to work, and correct me where I'm wrong in this assessment here, that there's, of course, a whole market of journalists whose part of their job is they need to always find content. They need things to write about. That's part of their job. You know, they're going to be usually in some certain niche or, you know, whatever. And part of doing that job, they have to do lots of research. They have to put stories together. They have to write stuff. Is it that your job is, your technology is making it easier for them to do what you would want them to do? Is that kind of the case? So here's a set of people who write about environmental waste. Let's go with that one. But maybe on a positive spin. So they're talking about developments that are being made and exciting new trends of the future. But you're putting stuff out there. Now, what do they exactly, is first of all, is that correct or is it off? And then second, what exactly do they come across? Like, it's
In
not a
terms of what?
website, for instance. Like, is it that it's making its way into the LLMs, but you're teaching them what's going on, or is it on the websites, or just you're just finding your way to plant? Like, what is the specific thing that the journalist comes across that's created by your technology?
Okay, so there's all these different touch points. So journalists are looking in multiple sources. Believe it or not, they're still doing searches online. So they will do a search like you and I do on Google or somewhere else. They will get a press release from us, and it'll be hyper-personalized. So we know what they're writing about at the moment, so we can target you. So you'll get this and go, "Wow, I was just writing about this. This is a great follow-up story." They can see it on social media, and they. There's also something new called GEO, which is like SEO in terms of how you find content. But GEO focuses on AI technology. So things like ChatGPT, you want to be able to have your content cited on ChatGPT. And so it's by the end of 2026, I think the prediction is we'll get about 30% of our news from AI. So when people are starting to search about news, they will start with something like ChatGPT and they'll ask about it. So what you want to make sure is your content is cited on ChatGPT. Our technology is deliberately developed to be picked up by ChatGPT or other language models, and you can actually see the content in there. Now, there's a bit of an art form to that. In fact, our content sits just below the media. So the media sources are one of the primary things that is cited by these language models, but we're actually rated higher than government departments. So our content is more likely to appear in one of those citations. And the thing is, if you're not in front of that now, then someone else can put out a false narrative about your organization. And AI picks it up and it's embedded. And then you've got to figure out how to deal with that. So, and that is one of the problems with AI. So, when we built our AI language model for our technology, we started with clean sheet. We had what they term a media, a vertical AI model. So, we actually have less than 0.01% of hallucinations in our technology. Now, you compare that to the AI models, and they're somewhere around the 15 to 30%. And the model is also produces much better quality because it's written on the corpus of over a million journalists. So we've trained it to write like a journalist. So in your case, you could put in three or four words. You want to put a message out about your podcast, and you might say, my podcast is about this. I want to get this message out. And that's all you have to do. We then write the press release for you. We identify the journalists. And in doing so, we then write for the individual journalists. So all of a sudden, we're picking up on technology journalists and bloggers and influencers, and we're writing specifically for them in their own language and then pushing it out to them with a visual narrative in a way that they can use it. So no fake AI images. This is all about credibility. And that information is instantly delivered. There's a library of content they go to. They can find a media center online, which is like a visual magazine. So that's 24/7 access. So, if you think of like sending out a press release, it's like a page out of a book. We actually build something that resembles more of a book online, which is your media center. So, as you're publishing more and more stuff, you build out a more in-depth story, which journalists can go into, find different ideas, and they keep coming back. So, we've got one client who gets 13,000 journalists going to their site every single month, it has for about 4 or 5 years without a prompt. That's where they start their month. I need a story idea. I can go here. I know I can find something. So it's no longer a chasing down journalists. They're coming to you.
Wow, this is incredible stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Craig Harris of lookatmedia.co. Lookatmedia.co. Craig, you mentioned media vertical AI model. Can you define that a little bit for us?
If you think of If we use the analogy of a general practitioner, a doctor, you go to them, they have a very broad base of information, but it's not very deep. If you wanted to get brain surgery done, you're not going to go to them for brain surgery. They might refer you to a brain surgeon. We're the brain surgeons. So we have a very narrow focus in terms of our language model, which is media, but it's incredibly deep. So what that means is that it's specifically built for this media environment. And something really interesting happened in this process. When we developed this product, it was for PR. All of a sudden, the media sector found out about it and went, hang on a minute, we want this. So we've met with six of the large media groups in the US, and they're all looking at trials so that it'll effectively be something that'll be used internally to write the news. And why they've looked at it is because it's the first time they've seen an authentic journalist voice. And for the media, it's really important that there's no errors. And we're the only technology they've seen that can do the no error side of things. And we can train it for each station so that the core station language model is protected and authentic, and the journalist voices are protected. And it's there to augment the creation of news, not to create it, but to make it easier for journalists to create better quality content faster and more of it. Now, we've also had another thing interesting happened. We've got some of the journalist courses in America who now are looking at our technology to embed it into their course structure. So the kids who are actually learning this technology will be doing it on our tech.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, do you have an interface for the journalists, actually? So the primary interface, I think, right, is for the team, the core team, the company who wants to create the content and stuff like that. Do you have an interface? You have the press releases and the content for them. Do they log in to look at media, or you're not doing anything like that yet?
No, we do that. So it's actually the first part we built. Every client has a media center. It's branded to them, so it looks like their own news source. And so what happens is they have their own illustrated magazine, and journalists can find it 24/7 through Google searches or through other means. But it means that they've always got that presence there. So if there's breaking news and it's not great breaking news, you can get out with a press release really quickly. You can put that into the media center, and they can get access from anywhere in the world at any time. And I'll give you an example of how powerful that is. One of the first things that we did was for a tourism body, and we built just a media center for them with an integrated digital asset management system. And we did that because we wanted journalists to be able to get access to images without having to talk to the PR people. It was a real pain for everybody. It took a lot of time, wasn't very productive. So we did this, we launched it, and that Christmas, the PR team went away over Christmas in Australia. We have a 4-week break. So while they were away, they started getting these text messages. And what had happened is the producer from The Ellen Show had gone online, was looking to do a story on Australia, found Victoria, which is one of the states, found a media center, looked at it, downloaded a ton of video content, put together a 5-minute segment, had Ellen do the voiceover and narrative, put it on the show. It went global, and then it created a mini tourism boom. The PR people didn't touch it, and they were getting notification after the fact because people were seeing it on television. And that's like 6 or 7, it might even be longer ago, that was the first example of what we'd done. And so we've now built it so that the language model sits in it now. And this is considerably more advanced than our first products that we actually built.
This is incredible. Why am I just now hearing about this? You've built a whole media ecosystem where it's two-sided, kind of a market. I could even imagine it going in the future, growing to anyone who cares about any kind of online reputation kind of stuff, or if it became normal, it could really grow quite a bit.
Yeah, we've got people across the entertainment sector. We've got nonprofits. We've got automotive. One is looking at, I think, about 6,000 or 7,000 newsrooms globally. It's going to be a technology that you will see everywhere within the next 6 to 12 months. And you're also going to see it have a major impact on the midterm political campaigns.
Yeah, a lot going on in that world as well, right? So at least a few different types of folks who should definitely think about using this, it sounds like, is if you have a startup, if you have a scale up and you're trying to get your name out there, get written about organically, because that's the credibility comes from other people saying it and not you, and you have a certain amount of budget you've got allotted toward marketing type stuff, it really seems like pretty sensible to take at least some of that and say, hey, we're going to invest a certain amount of our resources in making sure that we have a steady pace of good stories and good content about us online.
And it's about being part of the conversation, being able to see what's actually happening in the media landscape. We use the term velocity in terms of how much a story is growing, monitoring that and sending you notifications saying, hey, this is something you should be involved in. You should be involved in this conversation in the media. This is how we suggest that you actually go back to the media. These are the journalists we suggest that you talk to, and we'll help you create the content. So it does
Wow.
all of that, and you can do that within a few minutes. And you don't have to be an expert. But what it's going to do, and this is the vision side of things, the vision side of things is that the media is having real problems at the moment. They're not keeping up with other technology. You've seen that people are saying, I don't read news anymore. Well, that's not true. You just don't know where your news is actually coming from. News is social currency. Whether you're standing around a barbecue or talking to friends at a sporting event, you want to be current on the news. So that is always going to be the case. It's how you get that information. The problem for the news is how do we get those great stories? How do we get them out faster? How do we illustrate them? Because the news is not very good at illustrating content, so it can't keep up with social media. So we've solved all of those problems. We want to enhance the whole idea of what the media does, and in doing so, open up the spectrum of stories that they actually cover. So that if we can have a narrative on more important issues through the media around the globe, we have a more informed public who can make better decisions. That's where we're going with this. That's our goal.
Excellent stuff. I hope folks listening check this out, whether you're in a company who wants to manage your online presence, how you look in the information scape of what's available out there in the world, or if you're on the media side and you want more efficient ways of staying on top of the cutting edge stuff that's going on out there. So everyone, please check that out. Lookatmedia.co. Any final remarks for the audience, Craig?
I think AI has huge potential for us to do good things. I think intent is a core part of that. The technology needs to be constrained and controlled by people who have the right intentions. Without those sort of constraints, we don't know what the future is going to look like. We still are at a point with AI where organizations like Lookatmedia is actually has positive intentions and want to do the right thing and know how to actually use AI to do that. I'd love to see more organizations saying, we're going to put a handle on AI and we're going to use it, but we're going to use it in a really effective, positive way that everybody will benefit. I think if we can get to that point, the future is bright.
Thanks for adding that, because we see so much ridiculous stuff out there. It's nice to have at least some people proactively trying to do something sane for the future. So, really exciting stuff there. Craig, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.